Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Couple Speak Relationship Forum. I'm your host, Susan Lager, a psychotherapist and relationship coach at the Couple Center and Couple Speak in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where I broadcast live each month on Wednesdays at 8 or 8:30 p.m. Tonight's half-hour show, Beat the January Blues in 2014, is about a topic all too familiar to many of us, the letdown after the holiday festivities, how to counteract it or minimize the experience of the blahs or even depression as you enter the new year. I'll be sharing some tips I've learned as a therapist as well as some tools I've developed personally to offset the sense of emptiness I've often experienced in January each year. Interesting slip there, huh? Anyway, feel free to join me on the air with your questions, comments, or ideas of your own by dialing 1 on your phone to come into the conversation live. Don't be shy. There's always value in a conversation, and I prefer it that way rather than talking into the void. And tonight we have a kind of surprised guest, Laura Rifshin, who's a career expert and a previous co-host on our show. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Sue.
How are you doing? Have you got the January blues?
Yeah. And this is a surprise. I did not know that I would be a guest on your show, but that's great. Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you, too. So I'm going to be talking about how you know you've got the January blues and some antidotes. I have 11 antidotes for it, and anything you want to add or share, feel free to add or share, okay? So just chirp in whenever you feel it would be relevant, anything you want to add to the mix, okay?
Oh, I have no problem with that.
Okay. Now, my first question to my listeners is, how do you know if you've got the post-holiday blues and need to use some antidotes? It's not always clear. And I have a few different things that you can pay attention to as a way of establishing markers of whether it's not just an immediate blue mood or whether you've really got some post-holiday blues or some beginning holiday depression going on. The first thing would be to notice your thoughts. Are you dwelling on negative thoughts? Are you prone to distortions like, I'll never get ahead, I'll always be alone, this year is going to be the same or worse than last year? Does this one ring a bell for you, Laura?
Oh, yeah, unfortunately. Yes. My thoughts create a lot of, a lot of it is fiction that I make up. And even though I recognize as it's going on, it's almost like a freight train that I can't stop, and it just keeps going and going. And I say, this may not be the reality, but this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm thinking, and my thinking makes it worse, absolutely.
Thinking affects feelings, it affects everything. So one of the things is to notice your thoughts. Another program I can do is on thought stopping, but that's not for tonight. But pay attention to your thinking, because if your thinking is consistently bleak, it's an early warning sign of holiday blues. Another thing to look at is to notice your behavior. Are you isolating with some consistency? Are you avoiding responsibilities like bill paying, showing up for work on time? In your case, Laura, are you hanging out in your apartment, not even coming out to see the light of day? Is that going on?
Well, would you blame me, Susan? It's like 8 degrees in New York. Actually, to speak more about that, I don't feel a lot of my work is extremely social. And not as a career coach, but I don't feel as social when I'm feeling blah, around this time of year. And typically, I think my energy is lower after something that's like a big letdown after the holiday. It's like, okay, getting ready back to school. It's kind of that feeling come January 1. Everything comes to a slow halt for 2 to 3 weeks, and you have to get back in gear. So it is very hard. And I find myself not feeling as social.
Right. Well, I think the key here is people feel like it's tuck-in mode, especially here in Maine where, well, tonight it's a balmy 22 degrees or something like that. But I think the key is a consistent pattern of avoidance and withdrawal. If you're noticing that something consistent, not a day or two here or there, or not something that's necessarily driven by your work environment, but that's internally driven, that might be something to really pay attention to. If you're slacking off on bills, if you're just kind of in an avoidant or isolating mode, that's behavior to really start paying attention to. Another thing to notice is your self-care. Are you binge drinking or eating? Are you slacking off on showers? Are you avoiding exercise? Are you neglecting sleep? Self-care is an early warning sign for a lot of depressive kinds of experience. So that's something that's important to really look at. Another one is noticing your energy state. Are you excessively tired or manic? Do you notice some real change in your energy? And again, the word is consistent, not for a day here or there, but a consistent change in your energy, because that might be something to be concerned about, that might be an alert to holiday blues. And then the final one that I have, and I could probably add 20 more to this list, but the final one that I have is to notice your moods. Are you depressed, anxious, sad, or angry a lot? What are your moods? And does your mood feel consistently down? And I say if you've answered yes to more than a few of these for more than a few days, you may have the January blues. And I guess, Laura, I would ask you, what would you say would you say you've got them or not?
I'm laughing. Nothing like being on the spot. Actually, I was going to ask you, Susan, I experienced not just feeling low in energy, but a very 360-degree change in moods. Then that might be another issue that I have altogether that I should seek some professional help. But, either feeling high or low, my mood seems to change. I feel more irritable, I've noticed.
Okay.
I don't know if that falls in the same category.
Well, it might. It might. If you're consistently more irritable, it might be an early sign of some kind of depression. It might not be. It could be just situational, that maybe something's going on that's creating irritation. But it's certainly something that, if we're going to use you as a guinea pig here, that you might want to log. You might want to just notice it, pay attention to it. Don't do anything to change it right now. Just kind of notice it and watch it, and you'll see if it's handwriting on the wall about some holiday blues. Now, here are some things that you can do. I have 11 things, and Laura, you may have some things you might want to add to the list, but I have 11 things that I decided can be antidotes to holiday blues. And by the way, when I say holiday blues, it's kind of an immediate situational thing. It's not major depression. I'm using the words interchangeably, and maybe I shouldn't. But if you're feeling kind of down and blah, and you're not having a major depression, which is something that goes on and on for months and really warrants some professional help and maybe medication, the first thing I encourage people to do is to rule out seasonal affective disorder. In other words, get evaluated by your doc to see if you're neurologically vulnerable to the lowered levels of light in the winter. If you are, you may be a candidate for special lights to sit under a few times a day to offset the winter levels. People who have SAD, as it's called, feel they start usually in September when the light is lower to feel more consistently blue, lower energy, more depressive, And that's something that's it's a change in your brain chemistry affected by the lowered levels of light, and that can be significantly offset by sitting under those lamps for, it's usually about 20 minutes to half an hour a day. I think you can do it in two different intervals, but it's enormously helpful. And the good news is that you can do it while you're paying bills or you're answering phone calls. You don't have to just sit there paralyzed for half an hour under the lights. So rule that out, seasonal affective disorder. Here we go. I thought I lost my screen. The second thing I strongly encourage people to do is to exercise. Studies have shown that exercise is a very effective treatment for mild to moderate depression. And what I say is just do it. Make your motivation the caboose, not the locomotive. In other words, don't wait until you feel like it. Just do it and think about how you feel about it after you're doing it. If you're already a member of a gym, make sure you're getting value for your money, but going for a brisk walk, jog, or run in the fresh air is every bit as good. Walking or cycling to work is very good if that's practical. And I'm wondering if that's something that you try to ramp up. You live in New York, and I'm wondering if you ramp that up in the winter as a kind of antidote to feeling down.
No, I really don't. I exercise. The exercise, I know that you exercise a lot, Susan, and bravo to you. I exercise more in the summertime. I go cycling every week and bicycling.
Okay.
But I would agree with you, and I think it's interesting what you said. Don't wait until you feel like it. Just do it. Don't wait for the perfect moment, because then you'll wait forever. Wait broke the wagon. And
totally.
I have to put that saying on my mirror somewhere where I look frequently.
Yes, and I say thinking about if you want to do it, what sane person wants to get out of a warm bed and get on a treadmill or go to a gym when it's dark on a cold morning? Just do it. Think about how you feel about doing it afterward. And Laura, in your case, maybe making a point of more walking in New York or just doing some exercises in your apartment. You don't have to be fancy and join a gym or get fancy equipment. There's lots of stuff that you can do. But exercise is a very important antidote to holiday blues. Another one is sleep. Weekend post-Christmas sleep catch-ups will make you even more lethargic and discombobulated. A lot of people do that. Sleep experts advise establishing a regular pattern of 7 to 8 hours a night. And a good plan of action is to keep your bedtime and waking times consistent to reset your body clock. I have a lot of trouble with this because I get excited about things. I'm up till 2 or 3 in the morning writing or reading. I get into books or whatever, and my sleep goes way off. And sleep patterns really create dysregulation, and dysregulation physically can really augment any kind of depressive feelings. So force yourself, the way you do with exercise, to get to bed at a certain time. I try to make a policy of now at 11:30, 12, turning the light off, turning off my Nook, my beloved Nook, and just going to sleep. I know that you're a real culprit there also. You're known to be another in the Vampire Club?
Yes, night owl, severe night owl.
So,
but I have been, you said something very interesting that I think a lot of people don't think of, and I think you may have said this to me one other time when we were talking at similar issues, that I think shutting down, we think that it's just the TV that's such a stimulus. But I think the internet, I get so addicted. I'll get online late at night where I feel very cozy and quiet and no one gets to me. I get on the internet and I'm looking for something, and 3 hours later it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and I don't think that's probably great for being able to go to sleep. It's too much stimulus
for
you.
Absolutely. You're
totally
right.
Do you agree with that?
You're better off reading a book.
Yeah.
And or doing something that will make you tired, something that will soothe you. The internet is overstimulation, and it's
correct.
very, it's like an ADD effect. There's too much stimulation, too many pop-ups coming everywhere, too much distraction, and one path takes you down five others. It's the worst thing you can do right before bed. So I make a policy of not, because I have a nook where I can go onto email or onto Google. I make a policy of I'll start to go there and I will say, nope, do not even go down that path because it's going to keep you awake. So reading is a very good thing to as a sleep aid. Now, number four, have a proper breakfast and eat strategically. How many of us are guilty of skipping the most important meal of the day? Even for those that do have a regular breakfast, it can fall by the wayside in an attempt to reverse festive weight gain. A lot of people are compensating at this point. However, low blood sugar can affect energy and mood and greatly affect the day ahead. So eat strategically. Certain foods have the vitamins and minerals you need to help your body physically combat the winter blues. Stock up on berries, fruits, and vegetables. Get enough protein. And I say also enjoy healthy comfort foods like soup. What I do, Laura, is I'll make a giant pot of chicken soup with loads of garlic and all those psylliums in it, you know, the onions and the garlic that are really good for you. And it's great food to have. It's come home to that at night. You don't have to cook. And you're giving your body what it needs for nourishment. But most importantly, have breakfast. That really gets the fuel burning first thing in the morning. And so many people I know skip breakfast, and then they wonder why they're
looking. I have a feeling I'm going to flunk this one.
you're known for that, for being really bad at breakfast.
I love food, but that's the one time I'm not hungry when I get up. And I get up later because I keep different hours than the average person. But it's the one time I'm not. I have to force myself to even have half a banana when I first get up.
And that's the key word, force yourself. If you get in the habit, you will start feeling hunger earlier. I know I can't eat before I work out, and I work out every day. So often my breakfast isn't until 11. But I will force myself to have something first and force myself to have breakfast, even if it's 11 or noon. So it's really resetting your clock in that way, resetting your rhythms. And you have to get your body used to being hungrier earlier because it's fuel that feeds the fire. Now, another one, book a vacation. Give yourself something lovely to look forward to. Even if it is for down the line, it will up your mood considerably, especially if the chosen destination is warm. The sun is a great source of vitamin D, and the thoughts of soaking up the rays will give you a perk up for the month. Now, my husband Tom and I booked an overnight this weekend, not exactly in the sun. It's a little mini ski getaway up upstate New Hampshire, and it's a little depressing because we're going to have the January thaw. For the first time, it's going to be 47 degrees and raining, but I can tell you just the notion of getting away, it's something to look forward to, and it's a little treat that you give yourself. So if you can get away to somewhere warm, cheaply, without breaking the bank, that's really great because it breaks the whole winter light, winter cycle thing. And
It also sounds like what you're talking about, Susan, is also the act of doing something good for yourself and kind to yourself. Naturally will lift your spirit.
Absolutely. Very good point. Nourish yourself. Think about all these things as soothing yourself and nourishing yourself, being your own best friend. And if going to someplace warm feels that way, great. If you don't need someplace warm and a ski vacation or a little getaway for a weekend to an inn or whatever, you're right. It is the act of doing something kind to yourself. Number six on my list is stay warm. It seems an obvious point, especially given the recent weather, but the benefits cannot be understated. Research has indicated that being cold increases the feeling of being unhappy by 50%. Isn't that an interesting...
That is incredibly... I never heard of that before.
Being cold increases the feeling of being unhappy by 50%. So even if you're in your house, make sure it's the right temperature, and outdoors, ensure you're wrapped up when you're outdoors. Today I went out, ran over to Walmart, and got a heater because yesterday I was freezing my butt off all day in my office as the winds were howling. It was, I don't know, maybe 8 degrees outside, and my office is like a boat hanging over North Mill Pond. And it was a very different feeling today with my little space heater being tucked in. It was a much cozier, safer, nicer feeling. So ensure that you're warm as to the extent, as much as you can possibly. Number seven. And I'm talking fast because I can't believe this is a half-hour show and it's already 8:52. Have a lunch break. Again, an issue about food. The temptation will be to stay indoors because it's cold and your workload is mounting. And for some, a lunch break can often be a luxury. However, at this time of year, more than ever, it's vital to keep the energy levels high and not become susceptible to colds and flus. So get outside, take a break. And, again, fuel your body with some regularity. Are you better about lunch than breakfast?
Yes.
Okay, so your lunch is your breakfast, it sounds like.
Sometimes, but in generally I wait too long to eat, and I then catch myself, and I know that that's not good for me physically or spiritually, emotionally. I know I'm harming myself. But that's another story. We need to have another show for that one.
Absolutely. Now, I recommend to people that on your lunch break, you don't just sit at your desk swallowing down, gobbling down your food. You take a break. I think, if I'm correct, it's the law in all work environments in America that they give you at least a half an hour break. I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. There are a lot of work cultures that do not encourage that. I would say probably nobody will get killed if you take that half an hour, even if you walk around outside for a little while and you eat something. It kind of interrupts the stress of the day, and it gives you some a little bit of sunshine, a little bit of vitamin D, and you fuel yourself with lunch. Number eight on my big 11 list, socialize. Countless studies have linked psychological well-being to social networks. But at this time of year, we're often too depressed or cash-strapped to get out socially. However, inviting friends over, organizing a social event, or joining a club or voluntary organization can address this key area. So connect with people. Laura, you're really good about this. You do this with some regularity. And do you notice how it really affects your mood?
Yes. Well, I was, as you were saying, socialize, I was thinking also not just getting out and being amongst friends, but doing something where you feel, even if it's volunteering, doing something where you're doing someone else other than yourself some good. I think
that's a great one. You know what? I should add that as number 12 on the list. Extend mm-hmm. yourself and help someone else, because that's mm-hmm. a great antidote to depression in general.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Absolutely. Reach out to help somebody less fortunate than yourself,
right.
And it will pay you back manyfold, if there's such a word, but it will really help you feel better about yourself. So if you can combine the socializing, you kill two birds with one stone. If you're connecting with people and you're connecting in a way where you're helping someone in a situation less fortunate than you, who's likely to appreciate, you'll feel you have an impact on people. I would imagine that's what you're referring to.
Yes. Giving to your community, giving in some way, giving of your time,
yes.
your energy,
absolutely.
And your skills in some way.
I often encourage contact United Way, especially around the holidays, after the holidays. There's always something that's needed. Contact the schools to see if they need some volunteers, because you will feel like you're making an impact. And even if your socialization is just for fun and something light and kind of silly, connecting with people really ramps up a lot of very good feeling chemicals in your brain. Number nine, stick to reasonable New Year's resolutions. Now, admittedly, this is far easier said than done, but if they were easy, then there would be no challenge. Whether it's giving up drink or cigarettes or any other habits you want to kick, we're only in our second week of January, so at the very least, give yourself a chance. Please, 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 please set realistic goals and reward yourself when you meet them. Aim for small steps of change. I speak to so many people. I have so many clients and friends who aim for something really big and fancy, and then they feel they've failed themselves, and then they're embarrassed if they've announced it to everybody else. So start small. Think of change as happening in little teeny increments, and you will experience more of a sense of success. There's nothing more depressing than failed New Year's resolutions, and I'm wondering if that's something you relate to.
Yeah, it's easy for me to. I tend to need to be more a goal oriented. I know that may sound silly as a career coach. I generally try to point clients in that direction, but sometimes it's hard with myself. But I think you made an excellent, excellent point, though. Reasonable. Otherwise, you could end up being more depressed if you set yourself a goal and you're very harsh with yourself and very you're tough on yourself and say, why can't I do this? Because then you're kind of like I can't think of the word.
You're undermining the whole
purpose. You're defeating the whole purpose. Yes, something
totally. And you're augmenting all the negative self-talk, which is part of the problem.
Yes.
Number 10 I have is listen to or watch comedy. I personally do this. Laughter will literally change the frequency in your head and give you perspective. What I do is I listen to Sirius Radio. There's three sort of raunchy comedy stations, or I watch comedy on YouTube, and I find that it just completely changes the frequency on my head. It takes me out of myself. Clients who do it, friends who do it, report the same thing. It kind of resets the internal, the whole internal dialogue in your head. It reminds you that nothing's that serious, and there's a lot that's known about laughter and the biochemical effect of laughter, and smiling. Smiling actually has a very positive effect. It activates those muscles, activates certain chemical changes in your brain, feel-good changes, chemicals in your brain, believe it or not. One of the things I do when I'm feeling really blue is I walk around with a big Cheshire Cat smile. I feel sort of silly, but it's very hard to feel down when you're smiling. Or when you
I'm laughing.
I know. It's
very funny. Well, because I'm thinking I'm going to try this sitting in a New York City subway, just sitting there smiling.
Smile. Just smile. And what happens is it activates certain neurotransmitters in your brain. It ramps up good-feeling chemicals. And also watching comedy has the same effect. The other final thing that I have is to keep or start a gratitude journal. It will remind you of your blessings and offset depressive thoughts and feelings. I know that you do this, Laura, don't you? You try to stay very focused on what you feel grateful for?
Yes. Yes, I absolutely. I probably do that because I have been feeling quite blah, and I'm one of those people that does not like winter at all. I try to do this on a very regular basis. It's become a part of my, it's like a mantra for me. When I start to feel sorry for myself or blue, I think of all the things that are right and are working.
It refocuses your head.
Yes.
Now, we just have like 1 minute left, and I'm wondering, is there anything you would add to this list?
I don't know if it's going to make any sense, if I'm not going to, I can articulate it well, but I think if we, sometimes because we live so much inside our head, you know, our thoughts, just if we don't feel like doing something or if we feel like doing something, go with what you feel like if you can. If you don't feel like being busy doing something, don't put pressure on yourself to do something because it's expected of you. If you feel like just being quiet and still, be quiet and still. Just listening to your body a little bit
more. Okay, so honor your internal process, you're saying.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I think this is a wonderful list. This really is a great list. And basically, it sounds like what you're saying is really nurture your body, spirit, and mind. This
totally.
Is what you're saying here. This is what you're saying
yes.
here, is it not?
Yes. Be kind to yourself. And what you're saying is don't beat yourself up. Try, you know, there are ways you can gently push yourself, but try to honor what you need and be good to yourself. Treat yourself the way a best friend
yes.
would.
Yes.
Anyway, we got to stop. Now, to all you listeners, Laura has been on the show before. She's a career expert, and you can go back to a past show about staying sane while looking for work. How could people reach you, Laura?
Well, my email address is L for Laura, R, Rifchen, LR Career Coach at gmail.com.
Okay. And Laura, for all you listeners, is a very innovative, very charismatic coach. She really pulls people out of total lethargy and ignorance into a sense of what I call agency, learning to act on their own behalf and show up at interviews in less moronic ways and more positive adult ways. And not only that, but to find the path that feels true for them, wouldn't you say?
Totally. Well, that's a big piece of it, you know,
okay.
following your heart. Right.
And as you can see, Laura does really well extemporaneously. Laura did not know she'd be co-hosting the show with
no,
me.
No, she did but that's fine. I always enjoy your show, Susan. And I learned
I am a sure into it. So feel free to contact Laura if part of your January blues is, oh, my God, I'm working at the same old crummy job. I hate it. What do I do? Contact Laura. She will really work with you to get to a different place. Anyway, thanks to all you listeners. The next show will be Wednesday, February 5th at 8 p.m. I'm going to an earlier time because I realize the whole world is not a vampire the way I am. And I haven't yet decided what the topic is or whether or not I'll have a guest, but I will announce that. So thank you very much for tuning in. And Laura, thanks for joining me. I really appreciate the impromptu.
My pleasure. I always enjoy your show, Susan.
Okay. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.